ready. I'm thirsty.
Welcome to Thirst with Cheryl, a podcast making biblical truths plain. I'm your host, Cheryl Tyner, and today we are discussing Before You Move Forward. This podcast is meant to be a sip, a basic overview. Let's jump right in and begin with prayer. Lord, open all ears to hear and hearts to receive. Give listeners revelation, light, or an aha moment. In Jesus' name, amen. In last week's podcast episode, The Mismatch, we discuss that when we pray the Word of God, we must think in line with what we are praying about. If not, unanswered prayer may be inevitable. However, before you move forward, I want to remind listeners of some hindrances that may block prayer. Number one, not praying the Word of God. Again, I have put so much emphasis on this in past podcasts, but some listeners still have to be reminded to pray God's Word. I truly believe that some do not pray God's Word because they do not know God's Word. So, here I go again. The Word of God, which is the Bible, is the basic tool of instruction for Christians. It is God's will for our lives. We know we are praying according to God's will when what we pray lines up or is found in His holy Word. Why do I keep talking about reading the Word and or praying the Word? Because somebody listening right now needs to hear it. Check this scripture out. 1 John 5:14 through 15, the NIV version says, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will receive it." Whew! Now that is why praying scripture is so powerful. Number two, unconfessed sin. Sin is deliberately choosing or intentional wrongdoing. However, Romans 3:23, the NIV version says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Yep, this is a good scriptural reminder. However, there is an issue when we do not repent for our sins. Repenting means to have a change of heart, mind, and turn away from committing the sin. Keep in mind that there is a difference between a believer struggling with a recurring sin, like alcoholism, etc., who regularly and humbly repents, than a person who willfully harbors sin and refuses to repent. Psalm 66, verses 11 through 19, the NLT version says, "For I cried out to Him for help, praising Him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer." If you notice, the scripture says He cried out for help and praised Him. He also acknowledged that if he had confessed the sin in his heart, he knew the Lord would not have listened. And finally, he stated how the Lord did hear his prayer. How wonderful it is to know that we can confess our sin and God will hear and accept our prayers. Now here's another scripture warning us about unconfessed sin. Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 2, NLT version says, "Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is His ear too deaf to hear your call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, He has turned away and will not listen anymore." So listeners, just avoid having unconfessed sin in your lives. And for goodness sake, repent. Number three, doubting God. The definition of doubt is a feeling of uncertainty, unsureness, or hesitation. You're not certain, you're not sure, or you're hesitant. Now, we know that these feelings are not from God. So if they aren't from God, guess who the feelings are from? You got it, the enemy. So let's jump straight to the point. James discusses how doubt can hinder your prayers. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, the NIV version says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." Now let's look at the definition of doubt one more time. A feeling of uncertainty, unsureness, or hesitation. Could we say that doubt yields a lack of faith? Let me remind listeners of a previous discussion of faith in Hebrews 11 and 1, the Living Bible version, which says, "What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it ahead." So I would say that doubt means you are lacking faith. And remember, Scripture says in Hebrews 11 and 6 that it is impossible to please God without faith. Number 4, motivation. I like to pose this question to listeners. Just what are your true motives when you pray for certain things? For example, do you pray for more money so that you can buy more material things? In 2 Timothy 3 chapter, Paul addresses the last days as people being lovers of themselves and money, along similar lines, self-centeredness and selfishness. Listen to what the book of James, 4th chapter and 3rd verse, NIV version says about motivation and hindrance to prayers. "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." Number 5, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is when you are unwilling or unable to forgive someone for upsetting you or betraying you. Some examples are a spouse committing adultery, a friend says something to embarrass you in front of a group of people, or someone steals your idea and takes the credit for it. And there are many more. When we do not forgive, we hold on to bitterness, resentment, or hold grudges against someone. Unforgiveness can make you feel uneasy. You are always ready to fly off the handle if someone even mentions the person's name that wronged you. Harbored unforgiveness is like a venom flowing through your body as blood flows through your body, damaging your spirit and soul. And if you hold on to it for too long, it will cause disease in your body. To overcome this hindrance, make a decision to forgive those who have hurt you and release them into God's hands. Another way to get over this hindrance is to bless them. Yes, that's what I said. Bless the wrongdoer. Don't go out your way, but find an opportunity to do or give something nice for the person that wronged you. I can speak personally on this and tell you that it is really freeing. Acts 20 and 35 says, "It is better to give than to receive." Not only will more blessings come from giving than from receiving, but also you open the door for God's healing and restoration in your life. Your prayers will begin to flow freely, and you will receive answered prayer. These are just a few hindrances, a sip, a basic overview. Why not delve deeper and explore for yourself other attitudes or behaviors that may hinder your prayer life? Remember, Hosea 4 and 6 says, "God's people are being destroyed for their lack of knowledge." So before you move forward, assure you have your scripture on what you're praying for. Remember to confess your sins with the intent of repentance. Don't waver or doubt. Examine your motives for prayer and let go of unforgiveness before you move forward in prayer. Amen. At the end of each podcast session, I want to remind each listener of two scriptures. Hebrews 2 and 1, the NIV version says, "We must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away." And 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17, NIV version says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, which is you and me, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You've been listening to Thirst with Cheryl. We look forward to you joining us again next week for more biblical truths made plain and simple.